Hello again, everybody. Welcome to another exciting edition of the Big Red Bus as we take the unglorious monstrosity out onto the streets of Chicago on a pleasant and beautiful Sunday morning. The weather is so nice and crisp that I'm not even going to be down about the unfortunate events of the last few days. To walk me through what has happened to our beloved Bull, I look to my right, and lo and behold, it's my co-pilot, the great one, Doug Tonis. How you doing, brother?
I'm doing fine. I mean, are you surprised by anything that's happened to the Bulls this year? Like, is any of this like shocking to you as in terms of your expectations?
Frankly, I'm shocked that they lost Friday. I really expected them to come out and win that game. I thought Zach LaVine was going to prove a point that all my predictions and prognostications about his greatness were accurate. And instead, it's kind of gone in the other direction, and we're just seeing more of the same failings and foibles down the fourth quarter. What say you?
You know, I was thinking about it. And between the two of us, I think that maybe I'm the prophet.
Really?
I think you should give up your title. I mean, I think like all of the things I've predicted have come true, and none of the things you've predicted have come true.
I think that's not what the certificate says from the University of Northeast Idaho.
No, I mean, like, I don't know. There's been significant
analysis of a lot of my points. Hey, listen, I'm not going to take the L yet. We're seven games in already?
I'm not talking just this season. I'm just talking about since AK has come in charge, pretty much at broad strokes, everything I said would happen has happened.
Well, that's true. So I'm just saying,
you know, as a prophet, I've been fairly predictable. I mean, my predictions have been pretty on spot. Like, you know, you've already lost.
You've already lost your
NBA Cup title prediction. Like, that's already gone.
That's true. This isn't, well, 93% of the time, 7% I'm wrong, so I'm still probably within the margin of error. Hey, listen, I'm not going to deny it. You've done very well in your predictions ever since the Vooch trade. I mean, goodness gracious, you were right on that one. But, you know, I've been right on a lot of this stuff. Patrick Williams, I can go up and down the list of
How's Isaac Okoro doing?
I've been pretty good. He's rock solid as a defender, and he's starting for a playoff team. Doug, he's in the starting lineup for a playoff team. He's one of the best defenders in the league, so I'm not going to tolerate anymore.
He's a stud. Hey,
would you rather have Isaac Okoro or Patrick Williams right now? Is that even a question?
Probably.
Yeah, there we go. Yeah,
I don't know. I haven't actually watched a lot of Cavs. I mean, so I don't know. I would say that Isaac Okoro has not been the player you thought he might be. But yeah, is a solid defensive player.
I'll put this mildly. He's been far better than Patrick Williams over the last two years, especially on the defensive end. But let's not go down this rabbit hole.
I was just giving you a hard time because I don't actually want to talk about the Bulls because it hurts too much.
Well, I do want to talk about last night because they did play in a game I know you haven't watched, but I hope you had a chance to gander and look at the stat sheet. The big three last night, we had Zach LaVine go 12-4, 4-4, 12, 1-5 from three. DeMar DeRozan go 7-16, finishes with a 17-3-6. Six assists isn't bad. And the great rim presenter with 19-7-3, pretty decent game. 8-17 from the field, but my issue, he was 1-2 from three. He's just now turning down wide open 3-point shots. It's to the point now where that part of his game he's pretty much sacrificed for the most part. I think he's got like six attempts or something like that, some small number over the course of the last four games. Are you noticing this? Do you feel like this is a solid, good move, or are you in agreement with me that we need him to still raise up and shoot confidently when he's open from three to create other opportunities for the rest of the team?
I don't think it matters. And I say that because when he was shooting lots of threes, he was shooting them generally badly. I mean, I don't want to rehash because it's going to sound like I'm just ripping on Vooch, but like he's had, again, one good year in his entire career as a three-point shooter. It clearly is an anomaly. He's not a good three-point shooter. And going back to, how was it, 2 years ago now? When you had the first iteration of his team, like no one went out there to defend him. They're just like, yeah, go ahead, shoot. Like, so he wasn't creating any space. Like, he wasn't spacing the floor any. People are just like, Vooch is out there shooting threes. Who cares? We'll just give him 20 feet. Let him do whatever he wants to do. I'm not going to go out there and guard him. And he couldn't hit enough of them to make it an efficient shot. So I just don't think it matters. Like, if people respected him as a three-point shooter, that would be one thing. But because they don't, him shooting them only helps if he shoots them well. And so in that sense, I'll defer to Vooch to whatever his confidence level is of putting a shot probably impacts whether it goes in or, you know, I mean, when you feel good about a shot, you're more likely to make it. Would you agree? Like, you know, when you feel comfortable with the shot.
No doubt.
Yeah. So if he should shoot the ones he's comfortable with because he's not spacing the floor either way. So, you know, when he feels good and in a rhythm, shoot it. But like just trying to force him into it, like he's not a good shooter and he's not creating space anyway. So it just doesn't matter.
Let me just counter with this. He shot 35% from three last year. For a center, that's a fine percentage.
And but it doesn't matter. For a center, who cares?
It does matter, Doug.
It doesn't pull anyone out, Brad. It doesn't. We've watched him. No one comes out to guard him. He's wide open out there. No one comes out to guard him. Saying it pulls people out, it doesn't. On the court, it doesn't. In theory, it could. But in reality, it does not. Teams give up that shot to keep their guy at the rim.
I understand what you're saying. Let me finish my point. Every big game last year that we won, and we won a few of them against some very good teams last year, the Bucks, the Celtics in a big game, every one of those games included a three-pointer from him, usually down the stretch that was a big shot. And when he hits those shots, people do come out. They do come out. They don't just sit in the paint and watch him shoot the three if he hits it.
But that, he doesn't because he's not
he doesn't
good.
Hit it enough.
You're just saying he has to be enough. Better, but he's not better. Like, yes, if Vooch could be a good three-point shooter,
he's better than this.
Phenomenal.
Doug.
He's better than this. What you should look at as Vooch is his career average from three and expect that's what he's going to give you. Like trying to pretend.
Even so, that's a part of his game to just act like he doesn't shoot threes and sacrifice that whole aspect of his game. Yes, he's not a great three-point shooter, but he's fair for a center.
35% from three when wide open does not help your team. That is an inefficient shot in the NBA. And it doesn't space the
floor.
It's
more efficient.
No one cares.
It's more efficient than him with his back to the basket, not getting to the free throw line, clogging up the lane.
It's actually about the same efficiency as that.
It's offensive. Maybe it's exactly the same, but I'd rather have the latter, which is, or I can't remember what I said, which one was first. I'd rather have him out at the 3-point line because it gets him, his big body, away from the basket and allows DeMar.
I like him out on top of the 3-point line, too. I don't think he's going to shoot threes, but set a pick. Just run pick and roll with Vooch.
Yeah. Like
his best play is when he's in that role. I mean, he sets a good pick, right? Like, he's a big, heavy dude. And when he rolls to
Absolutely.
The basket, he has got a lot of skill. And if you don't keep a guy on him, he's probably going to finish. Like, I mean, I actually think that's where he's been most effective for the Bulls. It's terrible when they get him in the low post. You know, like, and they just try and do stuff. Like, they've been really inefficient there. But when they get him in pick and roll, I think Vooch does pretty solid. And he's actually pretty solid when he takes that mid-ranger. I know it's not a great shot historically, but, like, you have options there that I think that's where Vooch is at his best, is when you're starting up picks at the top of the three-point line, and, you know, you've got either Zach or Kobe, and you run a pick and roll, and one of those guys can then drive, and if they draw the double team, which has happened a lot this year, you can get Vooch a really good shot at the basket. You know, and if not, those guys can finish at the basket. So, you know, that's probably where I think Vooch is best. I don't care if he shoots threes. This is why I just said, I just don't think it matters. Like, I don't think it's going to matter if you got Vooch up to like 5 3-point attempts a game. You know, like over the last 2 years, he averaged 4.5 and 4.2 in his combined percentages over that year. Just spotting it eyeballs, like probably about 33.5%. Like, that's 2 years of huge volume. It's not helping you. It's just not helping you.
Before you start,
it's not killing you, but it's not helping you.
I want to get to the heart of what most people say is wrong. Like, what is wrong with this team? What is the issue with this team? And I see a lot of reasons why. One of being always going to the point guard. Let me explain what's wrong with this team. Our three best players, when they're on the court, do not perform well. It's backed by every advanced metric, or perform at best at an average level. And they have zero offensive geometry. The reason that offensive geometry does not exist is because Vooch has changed from the moment that we got him. Before you start yelling at me, I know it wasn't on a hot. It was 6 attempts per game at a 40% rate. That's why they made that deal. I know that's what they were thinking. I know that's dumb thinking, Doug. I agree with you 100% because it wasn't a big enough sample size, but it was a pretty good sample size for that season. 6 attempts per game, 40% from the line. You're bringing in a center that can get out of the paint and extend the defense. He doesn't do that at all. And so you've just completely collapsed the offensive geometry between your three best players. the counter side to that is your three best players are all subpar defensive. So you've really created a mess here in that. That's the heart of it. Everybody's blaming it on we don't have a point guard. Everybody, I get email after email, our point guard play sucks. Coby White has not been the problem this year. I think Coby White, for the most part, has been good, especially defensively. And yes, he hasn't shot the ball well from three. That's been a problem, but that will come around. But everybody's blaming Coby White. Well, we got to switch it up with the point guard. I see a lot of blame on Coby White. Coby White, to me, is not. Last night, he had by far the best plus-minus out of the starters. Our two, Vooch and LaVine, were a minus 27. No one else on the team was close. Like, when are we going to start commenting about these three guys don't work together? What say you?
I mean, I agree with all of that. I can simplify it. The team just doesn't have enough talent. Like, none of these guys are the guys in the roles they need to be. Like, you know, and to me, I don't have like enough. I don't want to argue about Vooch. Like, and I hear what you're saying. And if he could be that guy, that would be great. We'd be a lot better. But he's not that guy. And you have 12 years of data now to show that he's not that guy. He was that guy for 44 games. Like, that's it. That's it. He's that guy for 44 games, never again, never before. And there's enough data to show that that's true. And he's older now, and to expect him to become that guy, it's just not going to happen. It just isn't. And, you know, I now look at Vooch as, you know, he's now on a new contract, right? Like, this isn't, ignore whatever we traded for him. Now we had the option to move on or keep him when we kept him at $20 million a year. So, you know, looking him at in the light of a $20 million a year free agent, it was still a terrible decision. He's like just a bad contract, but he's a role player, right? Like a $20 million player is a guy you expect to be maybe the fourth best guy on your team. So he's now trying to be the third best guy. You know, people still talk about this as like we joke about him being the mid three instead of the big three, you know, but people still talk about him like he's like part of our best players, quote unquote, or star players, but a $20 million contract, that's like a fourth player type guy. And so you're expecting him to play this bigger role that he can't play. You know, DeMar DeRozan looks like he's fallen off a cliff this year.
I disagree with that.
You know, it just looks like he's 34.
He hasn't fallen off a cliff.
And this
he's
is, to me,
he's had some nice
just,
moments.
Yeah,
I mean, he's,
I think so.
Relative sure, to how nice he moments. Was last year, yeah, he's not at the same level. He's still an above-average player.
Well, two years ago, I'm not saying he's a terrible player. 2 years ago, he was an all-NBA type player. You know, and last year he fell off a little bit from that, and this year he's fallen off.
That's again. What happens when you age.
And
exactly.
I agree. That happens when you're 34. Yeah. And I'm not trying to rip on DeMar, but like his, you know, for this team to function, you needed him to be like an all NBA type player, and he's not. And then Zach LaVine and Coby White, and God, I hope it changes, but both have shot the ball really poorly relative to their career averages, too. And, you know, so maybe DeMar is just in the same boat. Like maybe he's just going to come around. And be better like later on, and maybe he's just also having a rough start, and I'm attributing his rough start to age and decline, but maybe it won't be that. But it feels like DeMar, like I have less faith that DeMar is going to come around. I think this is just kind of who DeMar is going to be as he ages. And Zach and Coby, I hope their shooting comes around. You know, Pat Williams, I hope his shooting comes around. But it's just like this team just doesn't have enough talent. You know, it's like you either have DeMar or Zach as your number one, and neither of them are number one worthy, and probably Zach's like a fringe number two worthy guy, and DeMar's probably a fringe number two worthy guy. So you got two fringe number twos trying to play the role of number one and number two. You got a guy who's a number paid like a number four, but is probably really a number five trying to be your number three. And you got Coby White trying to be your number four, and he's probably like a number five or number six on a team. And so like just going up and down the roster, it's just not good enough. We can argue about the fit. We can argue about all this other stuff, but the end is the talent is not there. This is not that talented of a team, and you know they're like this. If everything works out well for them, they're like a 40-ish win team, and that's just you know who they are. And so they're just not going to be a lot better than that. Is what we've seen. It kind of this offseason reminds me of when the Bulls brought in Thad Young and Tomas Satoransky, and you know you're excited about that. You're like, all right, these are like smart, logical, good pickups that fit our needs, right? And this offseason was kind of similar, and we brought in Torrey Craig and Javon Carter, and these guys were like perfect fits for what we felt the gaps were with the team, right? And what happened when we brought in Sato and Thad Young is we realized we're just not two role players away. Like, these guys were perfect fits, but they still couldn't move the needle that much because they're just not big needle-moving players. And so far, like, I think Torrey Craig has played really well. I've been excited about him. I think Javon Carter has started to play pretty well after maybe a little bumpy in the first couple games. But we're not two role players away, and the team just isn't good enough. So even though we had kind of like the perfect offseason to fill around the guys we had, what we have just isn't good enough. That's just it. It's just not good enough. Like, you're not going to scheme out of it.
I disagree with your general point. Now, let me just try to prove it by asking the following questions. So on Friday, we played the Brooklyn Nets. If we showed up at Lifetime, Doug, between those two rosters, who's our first pick? Between the Nets roster and our roster, who are you taking first? Are you taking
I don't know. Probably Bridges.
Mikal Bridges is probably number one. Number two, if you look at their roster, 2, 3, and 4 are Bulls players. I don't
know about that. Four is definitely.
You going to take Ben Simmons? You going to take Cam Thomas? You going to take Dinwiddie ahead of DeMar DeRozan or Zach LaVine? Come on. We're not doing that.
I said 2, 3, and 4. I said 4 is definitely not a Bulls player. Maybe all of those guys over the next Bulls player.
Well, what happened on Friday was Vooch was totally outplayed by DFS, Finney Smith, who had 21 points playing the center position. He was 5-9 from 3, 8-14 from the field. And Vooch, who had a decent game, a solid game, with a 13-13, 6-13 from the field and 1-1 from 3, and 3 assists. He was just outscored and outplayed by a guy who's really a power forward playing the center position. DeRozan had 24 points. LaVine had 24 points. Kobe White had 18 points in that game. These guys are talented players. I don't think they're terrible players. I don't think they're great. But I think when you look across the NBA, they're about right in the middle in terms of talent. What they don't have is they don't work together well. This is a terrible fit because they don't have their three best players. If you look at almost every team in the NBA that's good, the three best players have at least one really good defender. All these guys are subpar defensively. I mean, I think Vooch has been terrible at defending the paint this so far this season. Like, he's still a good rebounder. He's been better on the offensive boards. It's a layup freaking line. It's a disaster. And so LaVine has regressed, in my opinion. He's been awful, awful. Just, I can't believe how many backdoor cuts he's given up so far this year. I mean, it's worse than it's ever been in whatever year he's in, 10. Like, the defensive regression among those three has been just appalling. And I think it's reflected in the numbers. I don't have it in front of me. I don't know what their defensive efficiency was, but they were a pretty decent team last year with some limited talent. It's got to be worse than what it was.
I don't know. I mean, like, part of it is it's like one. Like I said, Vooch is just not a good player. Like, whatever thoughts people have about him being a near all-star or whatever, I don't think Vooch is a top 100 player in the NBA. I don't even know if he's a top 150 player in the NBA. Probably not.
Don't make me defend Vucevic. He's not that far low.
No, look, I don't think he's a top 150 player in the NBA. Like, you can't be a center. Like, you just described, we talked about, he can't shoot threes. He can't defend anything. So what is he giving you? He's giving you poor offensive efficiency in the post, poor offensive efficiency from threes, and he can't defend anyone. He's a good rebounder. Like, Vooch is your sixth guy. Like, it's probably great. But, like, he's like a $10 million player. Like, he's like a $10 million player. Like, I don't know. And the thing is, like, all these guys, like, you're like, well, they don't fit. I mean, I think what you're saying is generally they don't fit well together, right? Mm-hmm. But that's because, like, DeMar DeRozan and Vooch would not fit on any good team. Because, like, a center that can't defend and isn't, like, efficient offensively doesn't fit anywhere. No team wants that. Like, who's the good team that's got, like, I've got a high-volume, low-efficiency offensive center that can't defend? Like, which team has that as one of their really good players? And DeMar DeRozan's game just doesn't fit into the modern NBA. If this was the 90s, he'd be a superstar. But it's not. Like, it just, he clogs up the court. He can't fit next to other people. Like, he does a lot of things. Like, I love DeMar, and he's a great guy, and, like, whatever. But his game just is not going to fit well next to almost anyone. Because he's useless off the ball. And so now it's like your offense has to be DeMar pounding the ball, which is not if you want to be an average team, like that can probably work. Like he can probably be you can probably create an average team around DeMar DeRozan pounding the ball. But like because it's kind of like when Iverson went to the Nuggets, it was like Iverson is the man, like could kind of do some stuff. But then as soon as he wasn't the man, it was like all his value proposition like fell apart. And DeMar is that kind of guy, like but he's not good enough to be the man. So it's just, yeah, it's just, this isn't it. Like you just got to pivot away from this group. This group is not going anywhere, which I've been saying for years, but like, it's blatantly obvious now. This team is not going anywhere, and it'll be interesting to see how long we stick with it.
I disagree with your statements on DeMar. He's able to get to the line. I think he's a very good passer. The major difference between this team and last year is our three-point percentage. Although we hardly shot the three last year, I think we were top five, from what I recall, off the top of my head. Do you realize we're 28th in the league in three-point percentage? Only the Lakers and Portland are worse than the Chicago Bulls.
We were like 16th last year.
That's where we finished? Man, all right, well, that's my bad.
Something like that. I'm not looking it up now, but I looked it up not that long ago, and we're right in the middle. We're in the middle of the league. I looked it up after the Thunder game because the Thunder and us had, like in the first game of the season, I basically said 100% of that game can be discussed about three-point percentage. And the previous year, we shot nearly identical three-point percentage. It was like we were like 35 and they were like 34.7 or something like that. So anyway, I did look it up. We were right in the middle of the league last year.
Okay, so we're right in the middle of the league. Now we're bottom three. Javon Carter is leading our team with 50% from three-point line. He should be playing more. He's not playing enough. He's been, I think, playing very well the last four games. Io's playing shooting 45% from three. He's not playing enough. You got Torrey Craig shooting 40%. Then it's Dalen Terry at 33%. When Dalen Terry's your fourth best three-point shooter, you know there's something wrong. And that's a little bit of my point. This is not going to continue like this. Like Zach LaVine's not going to continue to shoot 31.5% from three. Kobe White's not going to continue to shoot 23% from three. Patrick Williams is not going to continue to shoot 16.7%. He's dead last on the team, three-point percenter. And Vooch is shooting 31, DeMar 28. I mean, DeMar, that's what he is. And Caruso, 27. Those percentages are going to come up. The team's not going to be this bad for the year. It just can't continue like this. It's not logical. This is not how bad these guys have shot all year. When that happens, you're going to see an improvement. How much? They'll probably be exactly the same as where they were last year. That's where I kind of see them kind of maxing out. The issue is you've already lost five games. You've already cost yourself five games, many of which you should have won. That Brooklyn.
Many of which we should have won?
The Brooklyn game we should have won.
Okay. How many other games should we have won?
Maybe right.
None. None of the other games we should have won.
I guess we got lucky on one of the ones that we did win.
And the Toronto Raptors game won. If I was a Raptors fan, I would be screaming about the refs. They got so fucked by the refs in that game. It was ridiculous. Like, every time you want to complain about the Bulls getting homer calls or having calls against us, like, we probably had, like, four calls at the end of that game that were, like, iffy BS calls that allowed us to get back into it, and then the Raptors just kept trying to throw the game away. Like, it was ridiculous. Like, we deserve to lose that game. Like, so if I was to walk through all of these games and say, like, you know, like almost all of our losses were legit losses, and one of our wins was complete BS. Like,
I think you're like, right.
It's we're closer to 1-6 than we are to 3-4. I'm just going to put it that way. Like in terms of like how luck has helped us and whatever.
We're actually 26 in attempts, 28th in percentage. That's a recipe in terms of three pointers. That's a recipe for like an epic disaster in the modern game. I don't even know what to say. And for 3 years, we've been complaining about how bad our rim defense is. It's what have we done to address that? We've done nothing. It's so freaking frustrating.
But let me say this to you, Fred. The only game we were close to winning that we didn't win was against the Nets. We shot 39% from three that game.
Okay.
Like the three-point percentage wasn't going to swing any of our other losses. And we shot well in the one game that was close that we lost.
Why do you think we lost that game?
I don't want to say you're wrong. Like I agree with you that we should be better at shooting threes. I'm just saying if we shot 38% from three in all of our games this year, we would not have changed the outcome of any of our losses. So it's just that one thing. I agree with you. It's going to get better. But if we just shot 38% from three in every game, we would not have won a single more game this season. And so that's not going to be enough to change what's happened. That's all I'm saying. Like, it's not enough. There's other things going on. You pointed out some of them. Like, we have no defense. I think the players are just getting sick of each other, too. Like, this group has now been together 3 years and not really found great success. And so I think
continuity.
I think, like, the first year they had, like, more resiliency, right? Like, it's fresh, it's new, like, whatever. You know, like, that 46 win year, you saw them being, like, pretty resilient to stuff. And I think now that resiliency is starting to fall apart. You know, it's like we've been at this for a long time with these same guys, and like I don't think they believe in each other anymore. And so I think there's a real chance that the wheels are just going to completely fall off this bus.
Well, if the wheels fall
off, I think this game. Yeah, let me finish one more thing and I'll let you go. I'm sorry. I know I've been talking a lot. So
no, it's all good.
I think this game against Utah is really, really critical, right? Like, you kind of knew we were going to get crushed by Denver at home on a back-to-back travel night.
Yes.
Like, and that Brooklyn game, I think, was really important, and that one hurt. If we lose to the Jazz, who are also playing very poorly this year, and we go down to 2-6, and then we got to face the Suns, and, you know, like, the Suns have not really clicked as much as you'd think, and I don't know the health status of everyone on there. I don't know if Beal's back yet, and I know Booker was at least back.
Beal's
like,
not
if
back.
We, you know, that Suns game, you know, feels like that's probably going to be a tough game for us too, right? And if you lose that Suns game and then you also lose this Jazz game and you're sitting at like 2-7, I think it's like really easy to see this team just caving in on each other, you know? So I think this Jazz game, even to just get back to like this kind of like play-in status, which, you know, whatever, I don't think either of us are thrilled to be a play-in team. But even just to get back to this play-in status and fight our way back to being like a play-in team and to have a chance and blah, 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 whatever, I think this Jazz game is pretty important for this team.
I agree 100% on that one. And I did want to throw out to you, like, I posted yesterday a tweet. I'm going to read it to you really quick. I don't know if you read them with the same rapt attention that most fans do, but unmitigated disasters, number one, the Vooch trade, number two, P. Will at 4, number three, Dalen Terrible, number four, Marco Simonisuk, 5, trading Laurie, 6, cutting Max Strus, 7, Acme. All right, obviously 7, let's take that out of there. I mean, I named 6 major moves by this organization that did not go well. Out of those moves, which one to you, how would you rank their biggest mistakes?
I mean, the Vooch trade is obviously the biggest mistake, right?
Yeah, that was it didn't work out well.
It's not even close.
It's funny, right? How people still argue.
I mean,
that's a
it didn't.
Move.
I don't think many people argue with it anymore. But it just, what's funny to me is the people and our buddy Mark is in this group. Is like, well, the problem wasn't the Vooch trade. The problem was everything after it. And I'm like, but everything after it was pretty obviously going to happen because you ran out of stuff to do. You know, I think probably not trading Patrick Williams is probably a bigger problem than drafting him. Like, after you made the Vooch trade, I was actually kind of looking through my whole timeline, and after the Vooch trade, I said, you basically have to trade Kobe and Pat for win now players. Like, if you're going to go with this team, you have to go all in on this team, and you have to get rid of these guys. And they, you know, they didn't do that. And if they did, like, I don't think we would have gone anywhere, but like, you would have then maybe had a chance to get to the second round, you know, or at least be a more consistent first round team. And Pat's value has now fallen off a cliff and has none. But yeah, I mean, the Vooch trade is the biggest sin. That's the one that lost us all our draft capital. You know, Laurie, he made the All-Star team, and I think Laurie's a fine player. But like, if we had Lowry, we'd be talking about him like we talk about Zach LaVine. Like, he's still not good enough, still has this, whatever. But I'd love to have him. Love to have him back.
You think? Yeah, that's also too. So, the Cavs were willing to pay him $60 million. We weren't. They were willing to pay him a contract that, by any stretch of the imagination, I don't think was, like, excessive.
Yeah, it was a fair market value. Like when we saw what Laurie actually signed for, and I think part of it was, like, Laurie wasn't going to sign that contract with us. Like, it wasn't until he went to the market and that was the most he could get that he, like, finally settled on it. Like, I think if he would have agreed to sign that with us before any of this happened, I think we would have kept him. But I think he was fighting for more money. Like, he got, what it was, like, $16 million a year, and I think he wanted... I think from us, he wanted over 20.
I think he wanted out. Too.
And to be honest,
I think he was done with this.
I think both sides were done with each other. I think both sides were done with each other.
Yeah.
You know, just, but whatever. It is what it is. You know, in the end, you wish you would have had him back. I mean, like, we'd love to have Lowry and his 40% from three on like eight, over the last, this year and last year, is like probably averaging eight attempts a game from three and 40%. Like, boy, that would look good at the power forward position. You know, if you had him out there instead of Patrick Williams, I would
you
be
think?
Okay.
We'd take that. Yeah, you can't play him next to Vooch, but we can play Patrick Williams next to Vooch. That was the other thing I saw so much of. You can't play Lauri Markkanen next to Vooch. And I mean, Cavs took him and put
Which
him at
really
three.
Just compounds how bad the Vooch trade is, right? Like, the Vooch trade forced you to say, we're going to give up a young, 24-year-old player who goes on to become an all-star in 2 years because we want to trade for Vooch. If you throw, like, the fact that we moved on from Lowry as part of bringing in Vooch, you know, that really, really makes that move incredible.
What I find, though, infuriating, though, is there were so many, like our friend from Australia, oh, Lauri can't do this. Lauri can't, you can't play him at the three. You can't do, and I understand he's not a natural three. How about you try it? How about you show some flexibility? It's not like he's a terrible athlete. That's exactly what he proved when he went to Cleveland. He was playing the three. He proved he had a lot more flexibility. And, like, I don't see, I honestly don't see the nightmare scenario of Lauri Markkanen and Vucevic compared to Patrick Williams and Vucevic. At least Lauri Markkanen rebounds.
I mean, in the end, they thought Pat Williams was going to be a lot better than this.
I hope so.
Like, that's it. Like, in the end, it was just they thought Pat Williams was going to be a great player, and he's not. Like, they gambled a lot on Pat Williams. What I would say, and I wasn't clamoring to keep Lauri, so I don't want this to be revisionist history. Like, oh, I was super. Like, I was fine with Lauri going, and you know, if we had kept him on the contract he signed, I was also fine with that. I think
yes,
I had said in my fair market value for him, $16 million is what I think is a fair contract for him, and that's what he signed for, and I'd have been okay if he stayed. But I wasn't like, I didn't see, oh, Lowry's going to become the player he is in Utah. Like, I didn't see that coming, you know. So whatever, it's fine, is what it is. But one thing I would say that I hope this front office has learned is do not draft non-productive college players. Like, Dalen Terry and Pat Williams both averaged less than 10 points a game. They were not the primary, like, star players on their college teams. Like, these guys are not going to become great players in the NBA.
Agreed. I think it's a like, great point. Fantastic point.
You know, just if you can't be one of the best players in college, like, it's fine if you're like if you're a freshman teammate, like, just oozing crazy athleticism or whatever, and you, whatever, it doesn't work out. That's one thing. But, you know, you play a whole year and you're like a moderate athlete or something, like, your skill level should be off the chart. You know, and it's like, it's just really crazy that we took these two guys, you know, and they both were like non-productive college players. And lo and behold, you know, Dalen Terry, we didn't talk about it. We picked up his option. Did we talk about that on the last show? I can't remember.
We did not.
Like, why? Why did we pick up Dalen Terry's option? This guy is so ridiculously far away. Like, you just, like, look at him and you're like, there's no chance. There's no chance. Like, I don't know.
I agree with that.
The most infuriating thing is these guys, they've not backed away from a single decision they've made yet. Like, it's like 3 years has gone by. You have doubled down on every single thing you've done. Like, you've learned nothing. You learn nothing.
That's a great point.
It's hopeless. It's very hopeless. Like, they've not said, like, wow, Pat Williams, this isn't the guy. We should move on. We should, like, they had opportunities to trade him. No, we're just going to keep him. Dalen Terry, clearly a bad contract. Like, you would rather have that vet minimum space next year. But nope, you're going to tie up, like, two vet minimum sized cap holds with Dalen Terry instead. And, you know, it's just, like, a terrible idea. Like, what do you think the upside is here? You've seen enough of Dalen Terry to be like, yeah, maybe he'll turn out into an okay player someday. But he's going to be overpaid on this rookie deal. Like, you could just waive him and sign him for the vet minimum next year if you wanted to, and it would be cheaper. Like, it just doesn't make any sense, like, the stuff they did.
You should have zero concerns that Dalen Terry is going to come back and haunt you. It's clear.
The guy, you should have no concerns.
He can't shoot. He can't. He's not. I mean, it's like, it's insanity that that's even a discussion. He's not even like an exceptional athlete. You know, I remember when we drafted him. I will admit that I was not extremely familiar with the Arizona Wildcats that season. So I called someone who's a scout that I respect in that area, and the first thing he says to me is, "Well, he's the third best player on the Arizona." And I was just like, what? The third best player on Arizona? Yeah, he was, my no doubt, performance-wise, he was the third best player on that team. And it's just like, and Arizona didn't win anything. We just drafted a guy who, what are the odds that the third best player on a collegiate team that didn't go far in the tournament is suddenly going to be great in the NBA? It's like, it's complete idiocy. It's just insane. I don't know. This was a good question I did want to bring up with you, DT, from Citywide on Twitter. Really good question, I thought. If you have the power to blow this team up completely, but you have to keep three players, who are those three players that you'd keep?
I have to keep three players. I will keep Torrey Craig. And yeah, I guess, I mean,
there we are.
I'll keep Torrey Craig, Andre Drummond, and who else is like the cheapest player in the team? Just give me cap space over all these guys. I mean, it's kind of
Carter.
I'm joking a little bit, but it's it kind of depends a lot on, you know, like I'd say, like, yeah, I'd be fine keeping Zach LaVine, but the problem is, if you want to get assets back, Zach's going to give you the most assets back. So, you know, if I had to start over with three players, it doesn't matter. Whoever the three cheapest, shortest contracts are, because there's like no one, you know, I'd probably keep Io, I guess. But there's no one that I'm like, oh yeah, this is going to be a building block for my rebuild. Like, there's no one on the team that I'm like, this is a building block for the rebuild. So, you know, it just doesn't matter.
How sad is that?
No one, I would
probably say Kobe White. I still believe in Kobe White on a decent contract. I'd keep him. Io would be another good one. I could see those guys developing into good NBA players. I'm trying to think of guys that are on reasonable contracts that you could see developing. Caruso.
Yeah.
And Caruso would be the third one. If I had to keep three.
Caruso would give you value back now, right? Like, you'd rather get value for Caruso. Like, his value is going to decline. You know, when his contract comes due and has fewer years on it, you're not going to get anything for him. Then you're going to have to sign him to a new contract and, you know, whatever. So I would move Caruso just because I get value for them. Like, I don't think Caruso is going to be part of a rebuild.
No, he won't.
Like, that's not going to help you rebuild. So, you know, if you're blowing everything up and you're rebuilding, I guess if you're blowing up to get different veteran players, then maybe it's kind of a different question. And you want to keep the guys who are like undervalued, you know, and like right now, I feel like Kobe is probably undervalued. Like, And he's got to start hitting shots, but I believe his value will rise over the course of his contract.
I agree,
and I think Io has a chance to do that too. And so if you're like blowing it up, you want to keep the guys whose value you think can rise. And like Caruso's value, I don't think is going to rise. I love Caruso, but I don't think his value is going to go up from here. So I would probably move him.
Caruso's 29 years old. Now. He's always going to be susceptible to injury because of the way he plays. He's not built, like, he's not a huge kid. I agree with you. I love him. He's one of my favorite players on the team. As soon as he gets out there defensively, he makes an impact. You can see it in the game with his energy and the way he plays. If you're going to blow things up, like, I would argue he's probably going to have the most trade value of anybody on the team the way Zach's playing. Because I love Zach. No one's defended Zach more than me, and especially over the course of the last year. He's playing terrible. He's just playing terribly, shooting the ball horribly. He's 40% from the field and, you know, 31% from three. Now, those won't continue. We all know that. He's too good to continue shooting that way. But, like, his trade value cannot be that high with his contract compared to how he's playing right now. So, like, Caruso is the only guy in this team you're really probably going to get, I think, significant value for. I say that, but then again, you look at what, you know, Harden garnered on the open market with one team. All it takes is one team, right? But I'll also then counter to that argument. Harden still led the league in assists last year. Harden's still a really good player. I'd probably rather have Zach, though, if you want it, to be honest. It'd be interesting to see, like, if we're going to blow this up. And I'm not even sure they will, like, unless things get really bad and they're forced into that decision from the ownership. I'm not even sure, like, what we could get. That's the most depressing part of this whole conversation.
Well, I'm going to go back, put on my prophet robes, and say,
they feel good, don't they?
I told you a year ago, you know, and that you needed to trade everyone last offseason, you know, when DeMar was coming off his all NBA season. I said, you have to trade DeMar and you have to trade Vooch now because this team isn't going anywhere and their value is just going to plummet. And if you want to blow this up, you have this window where, like, some of these guys kind of like look like DeMar look good, where like maybe you could make moves now and you could blow it up and you could undo the idiocy that you did to put this team together in the first place because you get enough draft assets. And we didn't do it. And now, lo and behold, we're right where you said we would be. Like, all these guys are now worth nothing. And now you're sitting at the end of this run going like, what do we do? And there's no answer. There's no good answer. Like, the only answer to this is you're going to move pieces around for different veteran pieces and try to maintain fringe play-in status. Or you're going to go into like a 3 or 4 year period where you're really bad. And those are both really bad choices. They're just both really bad choices. And that's just the state of it. It's just there's not a good option for this team now.
There's no denying that. The only good, I guess, I don't know if I'd call the ray of light is if you look up and down the league, especially in the Eastern Conference, a lot of teams that people expect to be better are struggling. The Heat, 2-4. The Cavs, 2-4. The Knicks, 2-4. The Raptors, 2-4. Like, there isn't, the Celtics are going, you know, still undefeated. They're so far ahead of where everybody else expected, and the Sixers are 4-1. It's not like it's a mountain right now to get to 3, 4, 5. Well, it will be to 3, to 4, 5, or 6. That's the only other point I'd counter with that. Like, if you get a couple wins here, you could turn things around pretty quickly.
Yeah, I mean, 7 games into the season, the worst you could be is 0-7. Like, I mean, we're tied for the third worst record in the league.
Well, since you're gonna put it that way.
I mean, like, I don't know what to tell you. Like, it's, yeah, if we're not that far out because there's not been that many games. But like, look, I could see us, like I said, I could see us if we beat the Jazz and, you know, like the Suns, like, I think they're beatable. Like, yeah, I don't think they're so great, you know, especially without Beal still. You know, like, you could maybe get that game too. You know, it's like, whatever. You are only a couple wins away, but like, where's the end game for this? Like, that's the only thing. Like, all right, well, say we finish the season with 40 wins. Like, say we right the ship, finish the season with 40 wins. Then what? Like, all right, we're ninth.
Enter the playoffs with a confident
we play in the play-in. We probably don't enter the playoffs if we finish with 40 wins. We probably lose in the play-in. And then what? Like, you know, like, it. Like, I don't think it's like, oh, we're going to be the worst team in the league this year. Like, that's probably not going to happen, but okay. Like, what does rebounding actually give us? Like, we fight back and we get to 40. Then what? Like, it just, okay, now it's the off season. We didn't make the playoffs again. You know, we got a late lottery pick and, you know, we're looking at this roster deciding whether to extend DeMar, whether to stretch and waive Lonzo, whether just to waive Lonzo outright, or maybe Lonzo can come back and, you know, give us a little bit of something, even play again, which would maybe be a nice, you know, I hope he gets back on the court and is able to play. But, you know, after 2.5 years off, it's really unlikely he's going to give you like previous Lonzo level performance.
No.
But it's like, then what? Like, what do you do? Like, you're just, okay. Even if the best case scenario happens and we rebound to be a first round loser, which I think is probably about the best thing that could happen to us, I still don't know what you're doing in the offseason. You now have to make an expensive decision on DeMar, and if you roll forward with him again, like, you're just going to run this team back for the fourth year in a row, and if you let him go, like, now where are you?
How do you replace him?
You know, so I just think it's like a tough, just a really tough spot. Like, you know, I do think it's possible we can fight back and get into the playoffs. I don't think this season is lost yet. I mean, I think there's a chance that could happen, but I don't think it's lost yet, but it just, there's just really no upside to the, like, high upside to the season. And then the off season, you're just kind of in this weird spot again. So I think they're just in a really tough spot, and I don't think they know what to do about it. You know, like, I don't think this front office, I don't trust them to figure out a way out of this. Like, I don't, yeah. So it'll be interesting to see even like what decisions they make.
Let me throw this one out. The Orlando Magic beat the Lakers yesterday in Orlando, 120-101. Now, Austin Reeves had his first good game in a while. He had 20 points yesterday. But I've been hearing rumblings that Laker fans are turning on him. That's a trade I'd immediately look to, is to get something for DeMar in the form of a younger player. Reeves, DeMar, whatever else you need to make that deal, you know, to work financially. That's what you should try to do. Because, like, I'm not comfortable signing DeMar for an extended contract the way this team looks right now. But if you can get like a guy like Reeves in, who's, you know, a pretty good player, something like that, do you think that's even doable?
I do think the Lakers are a team I would look to try and unload DeMar. Like, they're a team that has a very short timeline. They're probably not going to care about the long-term future. And if they have soured on Reeves, yeah, I think that's the trade I would, you know, I would see if there's a way to make that happen. I agree with you there. And maybe they would. Maybe they'd say, like, yeah, this is, like, we don't really care what happens post-LeBron, so we just need to do whatever we can to make this as good as it can be now. And if they feel DeMar would help them with that, you know, I'd be all in on that.
Always good to throw a little bit ray of hope in as we bring this bus in at 50 minutes. I did want one last comment from you on where we're at with Patrick, because Patrick Williams, 0 for 5 yesterday in 28 minutes from 3, 2 of 7 from the field. I did like the move. I thought his best game of the year was his first game off the bench on Friday against the Nets. And it wasn't like a great game by any stretch of the imagination, which is hilarious. But
his best game of the year is a fair statement.
It's so sad. But I, you know, the thing is, like, I cheer for this kid. Like, every interview I see with the kid, he seems like a really soft-spoken, nice kid. Maybe I'm missing it, you know. Like, almost every time I've seen an interview or a story on Patrick Williams, I'm like, he seems like a good dude, and I want him to do well. Like, I'm a Bulls fan, of course he wanted to do well, but this is fallen to the point of just, like, I can't even believe what we're watching, you know, sometimes. Yesterday, when he was 0 for 5 against the Nuggets, Doug, these were wide-open threes, and they weren't even close. Like, they were banging off the side of the rim. I don't know what's happened.
It's in
happened.
His head.
Is that it?
It's in
you
his
think
head,
so?
Now.
Yeah, it's got to be.
I mean, it's got to be. One, I'd say, look, Patrick Williams is not as good a shooter as we think he is, because his percentage is high, but his shot quality is very high. Like, he only takes the easiest shots. And so it's always going to be difficult to scale up that volume. And it's not to say, like, I'm also rooting for Pat. I thought Pat was just going to be a role player. I thought he would round into a good defensive player over time. And, you know, over time, he would improve his release speed. And he'd just be like a 3-and-D. I can switch a lot of positions, and I can give you, you know, 40% from the three on, like, four attempts a game, or maybe 4.5 a game. And, you know, that's a valuable guy, right? Like, any team would want a guy that could do that. And, yeah, now it looks a lot worse than that. And so, you know, like, everyone on this team kind of, you know, it's a theme. Like, everyone on this team is playing below what we expect. You know, like, DeMar is playing worse than we expect. Vooch is playing worse than we expect. Zach's playing worse than we expect. Vooch is probably the closest. I think he's, like, I rip on Vooch a lot, but, like, I think he's maybe let us down the least of the different players. And before we go, can I give you one of my great tweets?
Yeah, sure. I'd love to hear it.
All right. I'm going to drop the
I one. Do read so each one with rapt attention, though, by the way.
That's
unlike
amazing.
You.
You know what? Like, I would read all your tweets, but I just never see them.
I can't. Like, how do you not see
Twitter
them?
Twitter's decided you're not valuable enough and just doesn't show them to me. You know what? I gotta go on my tweet deck. I'm going to make a whole column just for you, Fred.
Before we get to your tweets, you got to understand, I had a fan of C-Red Fred send me a whole collage of incredible images of Moses, of a prophet, and bulls, and the ocean.
Yeah.
Have you seen any of these? These are just beautiful.
I've seen all of them. They're pretty great. They're amazing. I do love all of them.
Thank you.
I love Mark's response with year 7 on the tablet with the 7 wins. That was pretty
good. That
amazing.
Was good. He also had a good one. All right, go ahead.
So I agree. Those are, whoever did that, I assume they're all AI generated, but it's awesome.
He wouldn't admit to it, but I suspect you're right.
Anyway, whatever. It's fine. They're awesome. AI or not. Like, who cares? It makes our lives easier, you know? So anyway, my tweet, true shooting percentage last year versus this year. And then the points lost due to that efficiency drop. Zach LaVine, 60.7% down to 54.2%. This is, I posted before the Denver game, so these numbers will be slightly different. Minus 6.5%. Based on the number of shots he takes, 2.56 points less per game. Just, you know, whatever. DeMar DeRozan, 59.2% to 53%. 6.2% loss based on the amount of shots he takes. 2.2 points less per game. Vooch, 59.4% to 52.4%, loss of 7.2%, points lost 1.99, basically 2 points per game. Total of 6.75 points per game on offense. We're scoring less this year just because our guys aren't shooting the ball well compared to last year. So we've lost almost 7 points a game just based on poor shooting from our big three this year versus last year. And yeah. And so you just hope those guys get back to where they are, right? Like if they get back to where they were last year, you're scoring basically 7 points a game. And now Zach and DeMar, they have been putting up these numbers for like 3 years in a row. Vooch's last year number was his career high. His number this year is actually much closer to his career average. So I have a little bit less faith that, you know, Vooch is going to get back to that career high level in efficiency, you know, but this is still below his career average by a couple percentage points. So, you know, it's like there is a part of this that hurts, you know, because we played so badly. But part of it is like these guys are just also playing badly. They're shooting badly. They're like in a funk. Like, and you know, if you throw Pat Williams on there, like he doesn't take a lot of shots, but like it's also probably his efficiency has dropped so
probably
much.
More.
It's probably 2 points for him too. So there's like so much that's going wrong with this team that is just like these guys just they're just not shooting well. You know, it reminds me of I don't know if you listen to Nate Duncan, he's one of my favorites. But he always talks about adjustments in the playoffs, and he's like, there's always the shoot better adjustment. Like, which is basically to say like shooting variance explains a lot. And the Bulls, either everyone has gotten far worse, or they are just in a team-wide cataclysmic funk of shooting, like just up and down the roster, everyone is shooting really bad. And to what you have said, and I agree with, you just have to think that's not going to just be the case. I can't see like our top seven players all just having career worst shooting years this whole season. Like that just feels like there has to be an adjustment. It's going to come around. Like it just feels like it just has to. These guys are all just shooting so much worse than what we've seen them do over long,
Amen,
long
brother.
Periods of time.
And on that note, let's bring the bus in. We're almost at an hour. Hey, brother, always good to talk to you, even in these darkest of times. Let's look on the bright side. As your tweet suggested, things will get better. And hopefully by the next time we reconvene, much better. Until next time, go Bulls.
Go Bulls.